When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanford and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review Raw, but also Friday Night SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT, but AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete. Your quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, they're joined by Hanford and Sidgwick to look ahead to Raw tonight. Three Raws to go until WrestleMania, and you can tell we're in the season.
You sure can. You sure can. I've really liked WWE lately for a change. Hey, Sidgwick. I've really liked it lately because of. I like the WrestleMania card, ultimately.
Yeah.
So, typically, at the moment now, they're actually promoting things that are related to the WrestleMania card. We've got one tonight that, I'd say, based on the Twitter bubble, is divisive. I don't know why. I think it rules, and I can't wait to see the first manifestation of it tonight. But SmackDown showed us that what you can do is just spend time on the programmes now, rather than dealing with the fluff and the garbage.
Yeah, actually, we didn't get a chance to talk to you about it, obviously, on the SmackDown review. But what do you make of this new alliance of Sami and Cody?
Yeah, it's really good. I think that's a bit of a bold gambit. Like I said all along, that I don't think there's a risk in concurrently pushing two baby faces, because competent wrestling promotions throughout all of time have been able to do precisely that. They didn't have to just get rid of Tanahashi the second that Naito started to get hot in New Japan, or, you know, Moxley and Orange Cassidy, or Moxley and Hangman Page were both baby faces at the same time. You're allowed more than one. Bloody hell. But I think it was bold just in case there was some resentment and you didn't want Cody to feel like he was on his own island. You didn't want that feud to feel separate. It makes no sense for Cody, the nice upstanding babyface, to not help out a fellow babyface when they've got a shared enemy. It would be too obvious that they were trying to separate the two men, trying to insult your intelligence by keeping them apart. Ultimately, it was bold, but it's worked very much in storylines, and Cody just seems like less of an interloper and more of a good, upstanding dude, and it all just is working and clicking.
Yeah, it's the polar opposite to Daniel Bryan being like, they've told me to make sure this guy's cheered, so I've lost him at Fastlane. Now can we all get behind him for WrestleMania?
It's amazing. Like, this... I've loved this main event build. Love it. Like, main event builds, because they both should be main events, realistically. This Bloodline story, this main WWE story. But it is incredible that we're still ultimately in a generation of wrestling fans that were watching around the time of that Daniel Bryan comparison, and there was multiple Daniel Bryan comparisons with the Roman Reigns babyface, with the other similar pushes. It is incredible, as we sit here in, like, the 2023 WrestleMania build, that, like, there were that many years of compromises that were asked of WWE fans, not just for your B shows or for like a boring summer lull, for the biggest card of the year. Oh, can you please just let us have the baby face we want? No, absolutely not. No. And we think you're so stupid, we're gonna fool you into it. So, yeah, I remember you said we kind of disagreed on the quality of the, was it the 2015 Fastlane Danielson Roman match?
I love
you
it.
Love that one. I'm less high on it, but the purpose of that match was fake from the off. It exists as a meta comment, a beg from WWE to go, like, please, please, look, the one you love likes him. Will you like him too? It's mad when you're watching, like, a good build like this year's, that so recently was this compromise that was constantly asked of,
they did it with,
of a fan base.
Remember when it was like, oh, well, I'm glad Roman's not won the Rumble when he was defending his title and Triple H is back.
Yeah.
But I didn't realise we had the option of Ambrose time. And so they were like, oh, okay, well, what if there was a roadblock, wasn't it? And they were like, well, all right, what roadblock? And we're like, oh, that could be interesting. Ambrose wins the title and goes up against Roman. And no, it's Triple H because he's the bad guy. And then Roman has to be a good guy in comparison. Spoiler, he wasn't.
Yeah.
Do you remember the pop 15 years into his run Randy Orton got for winning the Royal Rumble just because it wasn't Roman?
I saw one the other day. It was like an old WWE video, presumably just, you know, resurfacing on YouTube because of this time of year. And it was entitled something like the 25 best title changes at WrestleMania. Guess who the thumbnail was? And it wasn't a recent one. It was like 4 years ago. I remember when Roman finally won the big one at WrestleMania. Yeah, we all hated it. It's just so surreal to have these people who are like you say, it's not Sammy being like, this Cody guy seems all right.
Yeah.
We talked about this on the SmackDown review as well, still available wherever you get your podcast from, of like, you said yourself, that they could have easily gone, well, Cody's won the Rumble, we'll deal with all the Sammy stuff, and then they'll kill Sammy off and put him in a thing just with the Usos, and then, oh, here comes Cody, and Roman's suddenly going against him. It was a brave call to mix this all together.
The vignettes had me worried that they were going to do it, because they were so effective. Cody getting the Triple H Beautiful Day adjacent Rumble return had me worried that was the plan, because you could well imagine Cody being given
Beautiful Day
something totally different to do on Raw. Like, just some nonsense. Before I went out, The Miz, I had trouble with you or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, because it's terrible road to WrestleMania thing against The Miz that cools him. Uh-huh. But no, I'm really pleased. It's none of this. We're talking about this now. Now it's advertised.
No, nothing.
In this feud tonight for Raw, because I guess maybe they've switched some of it to SmackDown. But it's been strong enough that if there is a Cody segment tonight or an Usos thing tonight, it's probably going to be one of the hottest bits on the show.
Yeah. So talking of the road to WrestleMania, we've got two face-offs scheduled for tonight. Edge and Finn Balor we knew about from last week's show, of course. Now they've announced Brock Lesnar and Omos.
It's fantastic. I want to look at this tonight as much as I want to watch the match. I know it's so weird, this. I couldn't understand how Vince McMahon sat there in Gorilla last week. He's got a moustache a week earlier. Omos versus Brock Lesnar. I'm raging that Vince is back. Like, people's priorities are all over the shop. Like, that's the thing to be angry about, is that he might have had a hand in a match that, by the way, is like, that's just stupid enough to work. Yeah, like, can he pick up the man that's bigger than him? I'll watch that. But like, no, it's wacky Vince. He's got a moustache. If this is Vince McMahon's distraction piece for this year's WrestleMania, so Triple H could get dad off his back until April, then so be it. And maybe that's why it's taking center stage as a face-off on the night where, like, that's pretty Vincey on the night where there's already a pre-booked face-off with the wrestlers Triple H likes.
Yeah, they're smaller.
Vince is like, I want that too, but mine's bigger. Mine bigger. Well, should we label it something different? No, same, mine bigger. Like, so we just get this tonight.
Do it at the same time. Have Brock and Owen stand in front of him, if anything.
Yeah. But all snark aside, the bigger, like, just how much of a hand has Vince had in this or not, I think will be revealed if we don't get the any version of a Hurt Business attack on Brock tonight, MVP plus his new gang, because it seems that Lashley is too busy dealing with that, like, ring general Uncle Howdy at the moment. So let's just assume it's the old Hurt Business minus Bobby Lashley. This would be the night, right? Because you've got then a 4-on-1 on Brock.
Yeah.
You've established that it's not just the fact that Omos is massive, it's that Brock's got to plow through the henchmen as well. This is a decent night for that, isn't it?
I don't really have any thoughts on either face-to-face. Balor and Edge, what tends to happen at WrestleMania is that they try and go for the shortcuts in the build, like AJ and Orton as an example was all very meta.
Mm.
I think they'll do that with Balor and Edge. I'll talk about why, you know, some of the internet fans don't like you very much, or vice versa, or whatever. Brock Moss, I'm not interested in the quality of it. I'm interested in how Vince McMahon it is, because my favorite part of that development, and we should never forget that Vince McMahon's an awful human being who resigned in disgrace.
And got his own age wrong.
Yeah.
Yes, because he's a moron as well as an evil prick, is that I love that these sort of rumors have never really gone away. Maybe very early, but then they kind of crept in when he's trying to get back on the board. He's doing press releases stating his intention to get back on the board, and then he's mysteriously getting voted back in on the board, even though there was a unanimous no prior to that.
Remember the bad advice story of like the October time? Vince says he took bad advice. And like, here we go.
And right. Then, so that happened, and then he got back, and then he was just visiting John Cena, but he's in Gorilla. I just love how every single time Vince orbits this, right, there's always someone goes, bloody knew he was back. This happened on Raw. Bloody suspected he was back. You know, this happened on SmackDown. So I think you could go back and watch virtually every single Vince Triple H TV production. And if there was a rumor at the time that, oh, you know, on the 17th of November 2022 Raw, Vince wasn't reported at the time, but he was actually in a production meeting. I knew it because this happened. Like, it's almost like Triple H and Vince McMahon are very similar as boogers.
I've got an idea, actually. I don't know what's going to happen with the Edge and Finn Balor thing tonight, but I have got an idea for the Brock Lesnar and Omos thing, which is a bit of both worlds, I think, which is, I agree, I think we're probably going to get Hurt Business stuff tonight. But you could have some lore weaved into this, so it's not just Brock Lesnar going, off. Here comes... Because you could have... And we've all seen in plain sight, and it's the usual invisible camera bollocks that we, just sort of have to allow for WWE nowadays, which is almost as there, MVP's there, and Cedric Alexander's there. But Shelton Benjamin is going to align himself with Brock Lesnar because these two have got a lot of history together, just like they did at the Royal Rumble until Brock immediately betrayed him. And so... almost an MVP and said, whoa, big guys, we'll back off. And then Shelton kicks him in the bollocks and they all kick the crap out of him.
It's a way for one night to, if that's like, as pointless as it sounds, if you're going to like decimate Shelton next week. So let's say like the 7-day reheating of Shelton Benjamin does sound pointless on paper, but if you're going to bring the Hurt Business back as any threat to Brock Lesnar whatsoever, that's the way to do it. Mm. Because at least then for like this one evening, he's not really thought about that. The consequences of his actions sometimes matter because they never do in Brock Lesnar's world. So the idea that just once he was made to pay for just being the nasty bastard Brock Lesnar would be quite good. Why I don't think that's going to happen is because he was an absolutely awful man against MVP in that segment the other week. Mm-hmm. And that was where everybody was saying, oh, that's pretty Vincey, Brock the babyface being this cruel school bully, but he's being cast as the good guy in this. The Edge and Balor one, might they have Edge want to say, like, all the Judgment Day are out there and he's chewing out Dominic for disrespecting Ray about the Hall of Fame announcement? Like, how dare you, like, speak to my friend, my former tag team partner, Edge, just for all the fans that don't know who he's talking about, when he was announced to the Hall of Fame, he's going to join me in the Hall of Fame, that's somewhere you're never going to be, all that kind of thing. And then they deck him, and it becomes apparent that Edge needs a way to keep them out, and that's the setup for Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I've got the other thing. If indeed not that's got that yet.
The stipulation, it might not be, but if they're not doing Finn Balor and Damian Priest versus Edge and Christian... We're stuck with bloody Christian, still in AEW when he could be back on the big stage after that performance at Revolution. Then
and that turtleneck vest.
Step up this one.
Yeah. It's a good point. I didn't even consider that. Although, Judgment Day also in action, so maybe that factors into it as well.
Who have they got again?
Johnny Gargano and Dexter Lumis.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Your face there.
Really?
Yeah.
No. It's off... Gargano got the win over Balor last week, didn't he? So this
yeah, which Edge immediately buried.
And you feel like they'll 50-50 it this week. Put the Judgment Day over Gargano and Lumis, because Gargano and Lumis fundamentally suck ass.
But guess who takes our fall?
Johnny Pinfall. Ahead of him going to NXT tomorrow night to book Grayson Waller. Oh, hang on, no. He won last week, didn't he? Because Triple H and Shawn are on terms.
Maybe Grayson costs him here.
Yes, Grayson Waller on Raw. I would like that very much.
I like the idea of Finn Balor. This has just popped into my head, and this is super WWE brain here, Sidge. And considering who might be backstage, maybe they can get away with it. But also, it's Finn Balor's just having the best time right now. Finn Balor says, actually, I don't want to fight you anymore, Edge. I'm sorry. You know, you created the Judgment Day, and look at what we've achieved now. You know, Rhea Ripley's fighting Charlotte Flair for the world title at WrestleMania. Good luck with that one after what happened on SmackDown. Anyway, and he says, you know what? Instead, I've got your present. Because look at you. Look at your face. You're a bit old, aren't you now? You know, he needs to be going. You're going to be going to an old people's home soon, but you know, your back's going to give out, your legs are going to give out. You're going to have to be pushed around in a chair.
And they've put wheels on the big purple chair. There you go, and out comes Damien Breeze, like, ha ha ha, you prick.
I love it.
Thoughts?
That's fantastic.
I absolutely love it. Massive wheels. That chair was huge.
I was going to say,
massive wheels. Wheels.
Yeah, aye. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds better than what they're going to do.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We don't have to talk anymore about Gargano Loomis. Good Judgment Day, do we?
I bet you.
It's time to play the game!
Time to play the game!
Predicting what Edge might say to Finn Balor. Balor's going to say something to the effect of, "Oi, I kicked you out of your own group." I can't do this.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It's Edge.
I kicked you out of your own group. Who are you? No, I can't do it. And then,
"I kicked you out of your own group."
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And then Edge can say, "Well, you're like the third best leader of that group in Japan." Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Well, 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 Finn.
I'm the best leader of the Judgment Day. Is that better?
Yeah, it's getting there.
I'm the best leader of Judgment Day. And then Edge says, "How can that be?" Squared circle, Twitter, what these marks gonna pop for? How can that be? You're about the fifth best member of that group in Japan.
Brilliant.
About
reference.
How can that be? You're about the fifth best member of that group in Japan after David Finley.
Kevin Patrick laughs knowingly. The fans like, "Oh, he knows. He watches other stuff."
What would the casual fan think?
I think Edge says to Finn Balor to set up Wilborn's long-running bit.
Makes a change.
You
reboot the fifth best member of that group in Japan.
You look like the cat who's got the cream. And then, what does he do after that, Wilborn?
He goes and does the wanker symbol.
There we go. He's a cat still.
You know, last year we were going to get the tightest tits in the game.
Oh, yeah, that's a distant memory.
Can we get ripped so at the Christmas party we have a photo of the Zoomers going,
just the 12 pack to get then?
I think we can get 12.
Got abs up by his shoulders.
I think we can get 36 pack. The three of us.
I was going to say, I think we can get a 12 pack for the Christmas party. I just don't think it's the one that people are maybe hoping for.
I think we'll be drinking it.
Slab a pitch black.
Probably have to.
It's always a quiet night at the library.
El Vino did flow.
Not.
Oh, God.
Siggy, lager, Wilborn, lager, sometimes vodka and coke.
Baby Guinness for me, probably. I'm pretending I'm a giant drinking a Guinness.
What?
A giant drinking a tiny human Guinness.
What?
Oh, God.
I love Baby Guinness.
What is Baby Guinness?
Kahlua and Baileys.
Ugh.
Try it. Don't knock it till you tried it.
I don't like creamy stuff or coconutty stuff particularly.
Like regular Guinness?
Damn.
Not Guinness guy.
Really?
No, I can't do Guinness. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Boring old Guinness.
Roast dinner in a glass, isn't it? What they say?
Hamlet, Guinness, it's cool. Sige.
How can that be? It is liquid. Do you puree the roast dinner? That is a question.
No, Vaughn.
But it cannot, therefore, be a Sunday roast in a glass.
Excuse me, Guinness. You do not appear to have finished your sign. It just said, good things comes to those who. That is not the end of the sentence.
Tick follows tack. Of course it does, but we are talking about a clock, not horses in the sea. Horses cannot go in the sea. They cannot go on surfboards. I asked Sol Ruka.
NXT preview and review Tuesday and Wednesday, if you want to know what on earth we're doing there. Hamlet.
Yeah.
He's asking to have to save Bianca Belair again tonight.
Oh, Christ, I of course.
She's working Chelsea Green, which will be fun. I like
that. Can they coexist? I would say no. They are due to compete.
Yeah, it's Belair versus Chelsea Green. Carmella's aligned with Chelsea Green. Carmella's pissed off with Bianca Belair. Who could possibly come
Why
to save
Why do they
the
keep
world?
Calling her Karen? Her name is Chelsea.
It is not called Partner WrestleMania. Why do they do this every year? I like the Chelsea Green Carmella acts.
Yeah.
I do. I really do. It's pointless and futile because the belts mean nothing, but I like them all the same. But they feel like they've been brought in now to exist for the benefit of an Asuka Bianca Belair makeshift team. It's just, imagine the work you've gone to. Like, to bring those characters back around the same time with similar traits, and then you put them in similar matches to bring them together for this. Like, I was on the SmackDown re-usage. I was crediting weeks and weeks ago, Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar being put in a four-way. That was January sometime for the Intercontinental title number one contenders match, just so they could interact, and then after the fact, Santos could say, you know what, all results aside, it was an honour to be in the ring with you. And then Ray gave him a mask. And that brings us to where we are now, where the Legados are de facto friends of Ray in this battle against the Judgment Day. Nice, that. Because when you saw those four-way, you're like, what's the point of that?
Yeah.
This is the literal opposite.
Yeah.
Like, you've done all this work for the benefit of something that you don't even need. Asuka should be terrorising Bianca Belair. The closest she's come to that is dribbling.
Yeah.
She dribbled normal blue, like, 3 weeks ago. And Bianca was giving the creeps. And ever since then, best
it gives me the creeps.
Since then,
that
best
would be
friends.
A better build.
I just think it's trash.
Nah, it's bad.
A win for Bianca Belair, a double team beatdown. Asuka comes out and maybe accidentally missed.
It's not a good idea, but it's a WWE idea, which you've probably correctly identified.
Just call me catering because I've put butter on a roll in WWE.
No. I did not land. You usually do something like a wink to get the pop.
I gave up on that bit halfway through.
Can you not save the pop? You usually do something when you tell a bad joke to get the pop.
Oh, now you...
Oh, geez.
Did it. More on that in a bit, by the way.
How long?
Just before that, Siege.
Time.
Just before that, Siege. Can Elias tune out Bronson Reed?
You winked. I told you he does something to get a pop after
that's
a crap
WWE's write-up, by the way, not mine.
What did they say?
Can Elias tune out Bronson Reed?
We could have done that. Guess the copy.
Oh, no. It's just a load of bollocks.
I don't care.
You're telling what you did in the SmackDown thing with the Ricochet finish?
I can't remember what that was.
With the how you described what happened to Ricochet.
I told him off air. Yeah.
I saw you put it in the tweet.
Yeah.
The vicious Valhalla Viking voodoo.
Yeah. It vexed Ricochet.
What was the question? So it's Bronson Reed versus Elias.
Which is the whole, it's all about Rick Boogs.
So what's going to happen is that Bronson Reed is going to murder Elias.
Yes, please.
And then Boogs might helpfully go, come on, pick yourself up. And Elias is going to go, like, don't patronize me. Kick him in the balls because they're obviously tied together on screen so they can eventually have a wrestling match, which obviously can't exist for any other reason.
And it's not exactly like Collision Course or WrestleMania stuff, this is it?
Elias, we were talking about Braun Strowman about this earlier. Elias not got a great record at WrestleMania. When was the... Didn't he get pushed off a big platform by Baron Corbin?
Oh, yeah. Remember that? I forgot the performance center build where you heard the like that. That Elias's body crumpling in the mat. Remember that when Baron Corbin?
Oh,
was that like the one that Vince jumped off, but it felt like he was in the air for about 2 minutes. No, he got battered off by John Cena twice because he was part of that pretty good Undertaker tease.
Yeah,
where the lights go out and it was him. That's what he's there for, isn't he? Who's he going to wind up at WrestleMania? It's going to be the friggin' Miz, isn't it? They're not going to have turned him heel yet, and Elias and Boogs are going to... Miz is going to be trying to get some important announcement out, and they're both going to be playing guitars over him.
Did I tell you my idea for the Miz at WrestleMania?
No.
So he's going to host it, okay?
Yeah.
And WrestleMania's going Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that even though he's done a lot of work for WWE Studios, Miz's character is that of someone who isn't, in fact, an A-lister. He's a pretty terrible actor with a particularly poor box office record. They're going to get 3 or 4 actual Hollywood powerhouses to interrupt the Miz. He's about to do some kind of hosting. And oh my God, it's Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, I was just about to say him, yeah.
Get out the way, you.
Brendan Fraser.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
I like that. Really?
And the Miz is going to be apoplectic. And when the last one comes out, it's going to be, I swear to God, if one more Hollywood actor comes out and interrupts me, I'm going to punch them or fight them right now. And then that's when they get Rock or...
Batista.
Or... it's a guy... Michael... The Creed dude.
Oh, Michael B. Jordan?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a great shout, that, as well.
Good booger.
Even with WWE's bollocks, yes. Speaking of bollocks, finally... Never mind Brock Lesnar and Omos. Never mind a build to WrestleMania. Tonight is about one thing, and it's a match I stumbled across this morning and audibly gasped, I think it's fair to say, in the What Culture office.
That's true. That is actually true.
Because not only is tonight the return of the OC, who've been tagging with Cody Rhodes at live events, I do believe, Gallows and Anderson are back to attempt to... quench the thirst of the maximum male models. That's right, Marseille and Mansoir are in action tonight, and I can't bloody wait.
So I'm here for the meritocracy of this, because if you can believe it, Sidgwick called me to his desk to watch the Maximum Male Models promo last week off the back of it. It was on Raw Talk, was it? Or on the Digital Police or whatever it was. And this stuff with Alpha Academy has been really fun. Chad Gable gets everything over, so it's not... It's not even going to fail. Like, this thing is going to work. You know, whatever happens with Otis in the end.
Otis.
Thank you very much. I hope, like, Gallows and Anderson are allowed to lean in. Maybe Maximum Male Models are getting a win here. And the point is, they need some baby faces to beat. And the OC somehow have found themselves the perfect baby faces to lose to Maximum Male Models. Great gig, as usual. Gallows and Anderson.
Oh, what a pair of workers.
Like, busiest in this business. But... I kind of want them to be allowed to lean in. Like, them two could have a lot of fun with this.
Gallows could.
Gallows especially, yeah. Like, remember the SmackDown match where you would see the Okada camera cut to the double elbow thing they would do? All of that.
Was it, I can't remember what it was from. I just remember watching it on Murray's computer a while back. Was it in New Japan where he kept going, oh, nobody attacks Danny Dangley and gets away with it?
I think so.
So yeah. Maybe they win by low blow and he sells, I've got, my bloody balls are hurting now.
Yeah. Target area is too big, they couldn't miss.
That was it, was that? No, it wasn't the same one as Bright Lights, Carl Anderson,
ooh,
was it? Oh, I like that.
What if, you know, it's Raw.
3,000, 4,000? I'll turn it on. 200?
As in Impact Wrestling?
Nah, I'm good.
Gallows just goes, oh, great.
In contract season.
Ooh, open challenge. It's such a good hype, man.
100, 200? Nah, I'm good.
But yeah, this is just going to be, yeah, stupid bollocks.
Like the match is announced, and I actively still welcome the vignettes backstage anyway. You know, the stuff that they were typically used to set a match up. Yeah. I want it regardless. Like, they can't wait to get to each other because Gallows and Anderson are more offended that they've not been invited into the group rather than having to fight them. They believe them to be the, like, most handsome men on the roster.
And the best tag in wrestling right now.
Yeah, the one-finger tag.
The little one-finger tag. Who do you think gets the pinfall? Because we think we know it's probably going to be one of, well, Gallows probably.
Man,
I don't know. If Vince is backstage, Carl Anderson's smaller, so he'd eat the pinfall.
Mansoir can go, and I think he's the funnier of the two as well. So I think he gets the shine tonight as Mansoir with the victory over Carl Anderson.
Called Saxton,
bald-headed geek.
You ugly bald-headed geek! Look at me, you ugly bald-headed geek.
So do you think, what's his name in the other half that's not Chad Gable in Alpha Academy?
Otis.
And he gets involved here?
What, on behalf of the Maximum Male Models?
Maybe not necessarily. I think he's gone down to chat to Maxime Dupri.
Yes.
And accidentally...
does a running splash on
Carl Anderson. Like, here's the spot, right? Maybe he
I had an obligation this evening. It's just been cancelled.
Oh, it's the best, isn't it? So good. Maybe he tries to play. You know when you like the classic funny scene in all the sitcoms, Only Fools and Horses, and we'll lean on the bar thing. Maybe
Dada
goes to lean on the ring apron to be like, I'm going to play it cool with Maxine. And he leans, but he leans a little bit too far. His arm's under the bottom rope. And Carl Anderson's hitting the ropes at the time, stumbles, turns around, goes, what the fuck are you doing? Boom, finisher from Marseille or whoever, 1-2-3.
Yep, I'm good with that.
Yeah, it sounds all good.
I do want them to win. I hope they're not there to lose so we can have more power at their
expense. I don't want them to be like, what are you doing out there with
Otis?
And then turn around into... the finish from
the magic killer, model killer.
Yeah, don't need any of that. Yeah. I want this. This has got a role into WrestleMania. I want WrestleMania to be like, you got some good matches. You got your Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair.
That's not a good match.
Sorry, yeah. You got your you got your Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos. You got your Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. But also, you've got the unveiling of.
We need the proof.
Sorry. Imagine that. Night one of WrestleMania, the unveiling.
Yeah, I like that. The right stage.
That should be the main event.
I mean, we have a lot of fun on this podcast, but don't take the piss, eh?
What should be the main event?
The unveiling of Otis as a model.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody. There he is. The little graphic comes up and it's like, who's going to attack him from behind? Nobody. Fades to black.
Right, let us know your thoughts ahead of Monday Night Raw tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, you can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at...
Otis.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. The Daily Wrestling Podcast. You can check out the SmackDown review and the Rampage review right now. And if you subscribe, the review of Monday Night Raw will drop into your feed as soon as it is released.
You think the obligation was watching in this show. That's how big the buzz is.
It is.
And there's still time to send us your 5-star review suggest something short, crap, and wrestling related for us to review instead of the Well, probably Johnny Gargano match, if I'm perfectly honest. Actually, no, Elias is facing Bronson Reed. No, because I like Thingy in that.
Just can't choose between what I don't want to watch. There's so much on offer.
Send us something, though. You can either do it on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review on there, or on Spotify, leave us a 5-star rating, screenshot it.
Ooties.
And email it to me, adam.wilborn@whatculture.com. But for now, this has been the Raw Preview. My thanks to the Dadley Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.